Griff.
Yeah, Doug.
Did you have a teacher or instructor who totally inspired you?
Yeah, in fact, I had. I had a German teacher in high school that I adored.
German teacher?
Yeah. I took German for 3 years in high school.
Oh.
The teacher was Helga LaFontein, and she was amazing. She was from Germany. I believe she married a GI right out after World War II. She came to America with him. Helga was unforgettable. Although she was super strict in that stereotypical German sort of way, she was also very funny. She had a wonderful sense of humor. And if I remember correctly, she was also very caring. She sort of looked out for me, you know.
Ah,
she expected only the best and was not shy about letting me know, especially when I performed below what she knew were my latent abilities, I suppose. I learned so much from her, and not just about German, which is a notoriously difficult language to master, if I may say so. She taught me about myself, and she really did inspire me, mostly to be more disciplined in how I learn.
And Griff?
Yeah.
Can you still speak German now?
Nein. No. Okay. Vielleicht ein bisschen.
eBay for a bisschen?
No. Bisschen means a little, and vielleicht means maybe, so maybe a little.
Yeah.
So, yes, Helga, I wonder where she is now. She's probably long gone. And she was a real mentor, and there have been others now that I think about it, in both in school and beyond in my life, like those really generous guys who worked at IBM in the early 90s who spent a lot of time on the Usenet bulletin boards. Are you old enough to remember the Usenet?
Yes, of course. The first real version of the public internet.
Yeah, exactly. It's before the World Wide Web. You know, those IBM guys on Usenet used to give their time and expertise to help computer neophytes like me learn how to build computers and understand all their components. And we were always available to answer questions, no matter how stupid the questions might have been. And believe me, I had stupid questions. You know, looking back, if it hadn't been for them, I may never have found eBay and my subsequent lifelong career here, which has led me and now you into this podcast stuff. So, such a long and strange journey, all due to mentors like them. But enough, wool gathering. Why the question, Doug?
Well, Griff, look at the script.
Okay.
See where it says theme of the week?
Oh, I do. Oh, yep. I see it now. Thanks for the reminder. The theme this week is sources of inspiration, business mentorship.
Precisely. Sounds like you've had a lot of inspiration from your mentors.
I did indeed. I'm Griff.
And I'm Doug.
And this is eBay for Business, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. What, Doug? What?
You didn't ask me if I had mentors in my life that inspired me, Griff.
I just assumed, given the evidence, you didn't. Okay, did you have a teacher that inspired you, Doug?
Well, Griff, my eBay mentors, easy, would be you and Brian Burke.
Brian?
Yeah. Okay. I've learned a lot from both of you, and I do appreciate it. But
we're happy to help.
Yes. Well, besides Belushi or Aykroyd or some of those early on.
They were your mentors?
My dad. I would say in a certain way, some of those early comedians. But I did have not a teacher, Griff, but a janitor. My friend Brian, he and I were custodians together at a small college for 4 years.
This is how you pay for tuition.
That's how I paid for tuition. And we had a lot of fun adventures together, and we actually wrote a screenplay about it. But
what was it called? Let me guess. Janitors?
TP Diaries.
Oh, TP Diaries. Oh, jeez.
Keep an eye out for it, folks.
Yeah. I won't hold my breath.
But no, Brian was great. He really helped bring me out of my shell. He was a really funny guy. Helped me develop a sense of humor and taught me a lot about life, learning, and even, Griff, a little bit about cleaning.
Cleaning, that's good.
Yes, it is good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I think most of us have mentors in our life that we look back on.
Yes.
And a lot of us can be mentors now, as you mentioned. And this week, we have one of my favorite seller mentors, specifically eBay sellers. Her name is Dana Crawford. She's known as Power Selling Mom, and she's agreed to come on and share her experience as a business mentor. It's a great story, by the way.
And Griff, from the eBay side, direct via Skype from our Austin office, we'll talk with the fabulous Alexis Galavan, who has a personal mentor story to share that will amaze you.
Oh my, it's amazing. It really is. She works at eBay, but she actually started a business years ago in New York, and I won't give much away. But that business ended up through this incredible serendipitous pathway, having a presence in Rwanda.
Wow.
It's incredible. So we'll hear from her. But in the meantime,
now on to the eBay news.
Hello, this is Griff.
Just kidding, it's Doug. I'm here with our frequent collaborator, Jen Deal. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Doug.
Welcome back. And welcome to The Buzz with Jen and Doug. Jen and I have taken over. We've locked ourselves in the studio, and we're going to play all Smith songs. What do you think, Jen?
All of the songs?
No, just some of them. But there is a true story. After the Smiths broke up in 87, a dude in Portland locked himself in a radio station and played all Smith songs. And the movie Airheads is based on that. Do you remember that movie, Jen?
Kind of. But the one I remember that's even more recent is Pitch Perfect, when Anna Kendrick gets the keys to the kingdom or the radio station and totally rocks out all night.
Solid. There you go.
Yep.
But anyway, Griff is gone, so all obscure references today. Do you have any obscure references, Jen?
I really don't.
All right. And what's your favorite movie? Is it Pitch Perfect?
It's not. It's Clueless.
All right.
Opening myself up there for judgment.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's acceptable. Jaws is mine. A July 4th masterpiece. Changed movies as we know it. First summer blockbuster. You don't see the monster, all that. But Jen, let's start with some voice of the community. Over to you, Jen.
Thank you. Okay, so there was a UPS rate change recently and then some site tech issues last week. There was a USPS rate change and some site tech issues last week, a recent USPS pricing change and move to dimensional weight that went into effect June 23rd, now make prices a little bit higher than some sellers are expecting. And there was also an issue with shipping labels.
So the community team was able to work with the shipping team and provide some workarounds until the issue was resolved.
Yep. And on to internet sales tax. Internet sales tax remains a regularly discussed topic. The majority of conversations are now buyer-initiated, with sellers educating buyers on why they are seeing sales tax on purchases.
And those buyer topics cover dissatisfaction with having to pay the tax, misunderstandings of the marketplace facilitator laws, confusion about what or when tax is paid, particularly with best offers. So again, the community team continues to monitor and sends feedback over to the tax team.
We have a tax team?
Yes, they all have top hats and smoke cigars. The meetings are very smoky. Just kidding. What else do you have from community, Jen?
Well, we announced our eBay crash sale for Prime Day.
Yes.
Some sellers did not get our humor.
Yes, they told us that joke isn't funny anymore.
Some sellers didn't see the humor, though. Some did. There was appreciation for the sale, but sellers wondered how they would benefit.
So, Jen, how do sellers benefit from this crash sale?
It's really about exposure for eBay, right? Mm-hmm. This retail period was created by another retailer, and it became a successful thing for online shoppers every year. And we're just taking advantage of that time because many online retailers are going to see a pickup at this time. But what's awesome about eBay is that we've got sellers offering excellent inventory, great prices, returns, fast shipping. And so we want to also ride on this retail moment like any other and give that exposure to all of our sellers.
And again, no membership required. And we don't compete with our sellers.
That's right.
Let's move on. What's in the news, Jen?
We posted a seller news announcement announcing that all listings are now mobile friendly by default.
That's good news. So we have made listings mobile friendly automatically, regardless of how they're listed on mobile or desktop.
That's right. The viewport meta tag will be added by eBay at time of rendering the view item page on mobile devices, and sellers will no longer need to use the mobile friendly checker to add that viewport meta tag in order to make their listings mobile friendly.
Sellers do not need to update previous active listings which are missing the viewport meta tag because the tag is added real time when the buyer loads the view item page. So if the viewport meta tag was added to previous listings, sellers do not need to remove the tag. It's okay to leave them as is.
If the description has embedded images, the tool will warn sellers if embedded images have defined fixed widths that are not mobile friendly, meaning they're larger than the screen. Or if your description does not have embedded images, you won't need to use the mobile friendly checker again. So basically, rounding out that little spot, mobile friendly listings by default, sellers don't have to do anything to change.
Mobile friendly all the time.
All the time.
All right, Jen, are you an Orange is the New Black fan?
I'm not.
All right, what shows do you watch?
Okay, I got this one. This is like a confessional booth right. Now,
yes,
not a radio station.
That's right.
I watch Mrs. Maisel, really funny, highly recommend. I just finished The Gilmore Girls.
Nice.
And I'm watching Eureka and Jane the Virgin.
All right, excellent. I love Stranger Things. How could I not love a show that's an horror homage to the 80s, Jen?
I did see that.
Yes, it's good.
Yeah.
And they have a new season.
They do. But yes. Our big news is that eBay has launched an exclusive sale for Orange is the New Black mega fans at ebay.com/Orange is the New Black. You want to head over to ebay.com/Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
In partnership with VIP Fan Auctions, bidders can own costumes, props used by stars Taylor Schilling, Laura Prepon, Danielle Brooks, Natasha Lyonne, and more.
So I have an interesting story, Jen.
Oh, no. Griff was right about you and your tangents and references.
Yes, but this is relative. So my sister Maureen, or Design Stew, is an epic graphic artist. A couple of years ago, she participated in an Orange is the New Black fan art contest, and her poster of Laura Prepon was one of the winners. So she got a picture of Laura with her poster, and Laura signed it and sent it back, and it's framed in her studio now.
That is so awesome.
Yes, thank you.
Is she going to list that on eBay?
I don't think so. I think she's going to keep it.
That's a bummer.
I know.
For us, not for her.
That is true.
July is a busy month at eBay. We've got July 4th savings through July 7th, our crash sale on July 15th,
mm-hmm.
prime timing,
mm-hmm.
and hot deals for hot days July 8th through the 22nd. So for any more information on those three sales, go to ebay.com/deals.
And now over to our sports desk with our sports correspondent, Jen Deal.
Woohoo! Thanks, Doug. ESPN's annual ESPYs auction benefiting the V Foundation for Cancer Research returns for its 15th year on eBay, with more than 80 VIP packages and experiences now available for bidding.
So this year, fans have the chance to bid on everything from exclusive meet and greets with celebrities, athletes, coaches, and league executives, as well as behind-the-scenes opportunities with ESPN on-air personalities and other unique experiences.
Full list of details and items are available now at ebay.com/ESPN. During the ESPYs, fans and viewers will be encouraged to make direct donations to the V Foundation by visiting www.v.org.
Excellent. Anything else, Jen? And by the way, thanks for joining me today.
Sure. I thought of an obscure reference.
All right. It's an obscure spot to put it in, but what is it?
Okay, it's not even a fact that I can pull out of my head, but did you know that ESPN or ESPN is a very popular boy's name?
I did not know that.
There you go.
ESPN. Interesting.
It's
all right,
literally
that is a
ESPN.
That is a good, fairly appropriate reference for this.
Yeah, and that was from the sports desk.
All right.
And that's all the news that fits.
So this has been The Buzz with Jen and Doug. And hey, Jen, this was fun. Jen and Doug sounds good. Maybe we don't need those other guys.
Shh, maybe we do. Coming up next, Liz Austin speaks with Evelyn Ka and Joe Rodriguez from the eBay for Charity team.
Hi there, it's Liz, and welcome to a special segment. This month, we're talking about business betterment and how sellers can continuously build on the success of their business. Success being defined in a number of different ways, financially, productivity, or even why you sell. And selling for good, potentially. So with that thought in mind, I'm here with Evelyn Ka, Senior Manager, eBay for Charity, and Joe Rodriguez, Senior Manager, Charity Partnerships, eBay for Charity. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Hi.
Hi.
We're actually doing something super special here. I've got Evelyn in here with me, and Joe is on Skype, so Griff is being rather tricky here today, so sellers, bear with us. What is your role at eBay and how long have you been here with us, Joe?
I have been with eBay for 17 years and have been working solely on the charity team for about 10 years now. And I have kind of done a little bit of everything within the charity team, but right now my focus is on working with charity partnerships. So just reaching out to different charity organizations and working with them on different activations that they're doing on the eBay site, as well as managing direct sellers, which is our large charity partners who actually are sellers on the eBay platform.
Awesome. Something I actually don't know. How long has eBay for Charity been running?
Since 2003.
2003. That's super impressive, isn't it? We must have been one of the first organizations to have a charity element to the business. That is cool. All right, Evelyn, what about you? How long have you been at eBay and what do you actually do?
I've been at eBay for about 3.5 years. I was previously on the corporate communications side managing as a product manager for the corporate website.
Okay.
But I joined the charity team back in late September of 2018, and I've been working on focusing on our high-profile charity campaigns, some of the operations and marketing and promotions around those campaigns that we do with like celebrities or working with our charity organizations to do the big Pride Month campaigns or Earth Month campaigns. I've also been focusing on product marketing for our eBay for Charity product. I'm working on a number of different things in terms of like marketing the product features to our sellers.
Okay. And something I'm super interested in, why the move from CorpComms to eBay for Charity?
Great question. I actually came from a nonprofit foundation previously. I've worked in web, like managing websites my whole career, but I always knew that I needed to work in something that did, you know, have something that had a social impact on the world. And so going from nonprofit to, you know, corporate, I just knew I had to get back to nonprofit somehow. Sure. And this was like the perfect role. It's still within our comms team because that's where the charity team sits, but it's perfect because I get to work with nonprofits and also use my technical skills.
Great. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So for those who don't know, what is eBay for Charity? Joe, what do you think?
eBay for Charity is a really great program that's in place that helps enable our community, so buyers and sellers, to support the causes that they themselves really care about. It kind of came about from eBay's response to 9/11, actually. So we knew our community really wanted to support organizations that were in the impacted areas. How do we help first responders? How do we help people who have lost their loved ones, maybe their breadwinners? From a response from our community, but then also there was a response that came through from New York City asking how eBay could also help raise funds through the platform. So I think coming off of that experience, we realized that we needed to have something in place on our site where we could make it easier for our community to support causes they care about, but also to ensure that the charities who are being supported are getting the funds that are being raised. So we created back in 2003, the program was actually called eBay Giving Works. And then in 2015, 2016, we renamed the program to eBay for Charity. And that's the program name that's used in all the different areas that a charitable program is in.
So in a nutshell, is it product functionality? Is it, you know, events? Like what is it that we offer sellers as part of eBay for Charity?
It's a product functionality where it's a feature that sellers can add to their listing. Charities are required to enroll in our program. So we have a database of over 66,000 charities, and it's a feature that sellers can add to their listing. So as they're going through and putting their listing descriptions and everything together, there is an eBay for Charity feature, a donate feature that they can check, and it will allow them to go in and search for the charity that they want to support and then add that donation to their listing. So sellers can donate anywhere from 10 to 100% of their sale on that item. And when the item sells, our nonprofit partner, PayPal Giving Fund, collects that donation from the seller to make sure that it gets to the charity that the seller is supporting. So it is a feature that sellers are adding to their listings.
Got it. And Evelyn, it sounds like we've got about 66,000 charities on the platform, which is kind of crazy to me, but brilliant all the same. Do you want to go through kind of the charities that we do support?
Sure. As a platform, eBay is agnostic as to the types of charities that we support. Any 501c3 can participate. As Joe mentioned, we use PayPal Giving Fund as our partner in vetting those organizations. So all you have to do is submit your paperwork to prove that you're a 501c3 to PayPal Giving Fund. And once you're on their site, you also automatically show up on eBay for Charity. So we've got all types of charities ranging from, you know, veterans causes to animal causes, earth related organizations, and ones that benefit children, education, the whole gamut.
Brilliant. And I know that when we had the wildfires or tornadoes or hurricanes, eBay for Charity always steps in and enables our community to help raise funds for those, you know, emergency situations. So how does eBay do that? What do we do when those things happen?
Joe, who manages our charity partnerships, has really good relationships with a lot of charities that we have longstanding relationships with. And so organizations like United Way, Save the Children, many others that we work with all the time when we know will respond to issues like disasters around the world, we generally reach out to them to see what they're doing and then point our resources to raise funds for those disasters through those organizations.
Brilliant. So how many sellers do we have selling for charity right now?
Right now, we have over 200,000 active sellers who are participating in our charity platform. So that could range from our direct sellers, which are nonprofits that actually have inventory and sell on the site. It could also include like me, you, or Griff, you know, it's listing items to benefit charity, C2C, but also actual nonprofits selling on the site.
200,000, that is amazing. Wow. Joe, okay, so why would a seller choose to sell for charity?
I mean, aside from the fact that it just feels good to support the organization or that cause that you really love or care about, and it's great because you can go right down to the local level. You don't have to support like a global or a nationwide organization. You can really support a 501c3 that's right in your local community. But I think aside from that, selling for charity and supporting causes is a really great way to differentiate yourself from your competition. It helps attract the new generation of shoppers. We know that millennials and Gen Z believe strongly in doing good and using their money when they're shopping to support businesses that are actually, you know, doing good in community and supporting different causes. So it's just a really great way to get that new generation of shoppers on. And then also really great for employee retention. I think just from my own perspective, the fact that eBay has a program like this and enables this type of thing and also is just very active in the communities where we're located and involved in helping areas that are being impacted by disaster is a really big reason why I'm still here after 17 years working for this company. So it really is a great way to keep your employees retained. Another thing that we do on our platform when a seller is supporting charity is we make sure that our nonprofit partner, PayPal Giving Fund, who's collecting those donations, they are sending our sellers a tax receipt. So the sellers are making the donations from their sales and they will receive a tax receipt for the donations that they are making so they can claim those donations on their taxes. And then we also credit fees. When a seller is supporting charity and say they're donating 10% of a sale from an item to a charity, we'll credit 10% of their fees all the way up to 100%. So if a seller is just purely selling this item because they want 100% of the sale of this item to go to benefit charity, we're crediting 100% of that seller's final value fee on the back end.
Got it. And then what about the impact to the final value fees? I know that we give some sort of discount for that.
So we do provide a credit on the final value fee. So on the insertion and final value fee, when an item sells successfully and it's supporting charity, the credit is the same as the donation being made. So 10% being donated to charity, 10% credit on final value fees, and all the way up to 100%.
Got it. It sounds amazing, and I'm sure there's a lot of sellers out there who are interested. But also another benefit of this, as you say, Gen Z and millennials are really interested in what we call purposeful shopping, which is this new phrase we're hearing a lot about. Joe, could you just expand on that a little bit more about why this new generation of buyers are interested in sellers who do sell for charity or do good while they sell?
We actually did a study in the past, and we're in the process of getting that study updated. But trying to provide information around the fact that we know that when people are on the platform shopping, that items that support charity are actually going to do some good tend to sell more quickly and for higher prices than similar items that don't. Our team hasn't done any specific, other than the study that we did back in 2012, we really haven't done a lot of studies specifically to purposeful shopping. eBay for Charity specifically hasn't done that research, but we do attend a lot of conferences with charity organizations, and this comes up a lot actually in the different sessions that we attend and at those conferences around just really understanding what consumers want or why a consumer may choose to support a specific cause or get involved in a certain campaign or activation. And really it's just around the fact that that specific activation is supporting something that consumer really, really cares about, is really important to them. And so, you know, with like Gen Z and millennials, the money that they have and the shopping that they're doing, they really want to make sure that it's making a really important impact to the causes that they care about and into their communities.
Awesome. Okay, so just to be clear, Evelyn, could you just give us a couple of examples of sellers that are using eBay for charity and how they incorporate that into their business model?
Yeah, sure. Like I mentioned before, we have nonprofits that actually sell on the site. So some examples are like Reflections of Trinity, who sells fashion and home goods, and you know her sales all go back to the community. And then we've got community sellers who are not actual nonprofits, but they have stores on eBay and they participate in the platform by donating a percentage of their sales to charity. So a seller like Africa Direct, who has donated over $80,000 to charity since she's been on the platform since the beginning.
Wow.
Gemstone King's another big seller who participates in a lot of our campaigns throughout the year. You know, we have campaigns going on all the time around cause marketing moments or, you know, other maybe bigger campaigns that we're working on, and we're always looking for sellers to participate. Gemstone King is one that always comes on board and helps us out. Or you don't have to select items from your entire store to participate in the program, but, you know, usually if you can select a dozen or so items and donate maybe at least 10% to charity, we usually will create exclusive landing pages, and we sometimes get homepage marketing on site. And of course, we always do social around these campaigns, so it's another way for sellers to participate and get eyeballs on some of their inventory.
Excellent. And one last question, Joe. So where can sellers go to learn more about eBay for Charity?
We have a really great landing page with a lot of information on it at ebay.com/charity. And there's all the information, videos on how to sell. We have a really great FAQ page, just really walking through step by step how to do it, how the process works, how your donation is collected. And then any sellers that have questions about maybe getting involved in one of those campaigns that Evelyn just mentioned, our seasonal moments or cause moments that we're doing where we want to highlight seller inventory, they can reach us at charityteam@ebay.com.
Brilliant. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, ladies, and telling us all about eBay for Charity. We've been chatting with Evelyn Carr, Senior Manager, eBay for Charity, and Joe Rodriguez, Senior Manager, Charity Partnerships, eBay for Charity.
On today's show, our theme is business mentorship. And no better guest, I think, to have on to talk about the experience of business mentorship than our guest today. Joining us now is Dana Crawford. She's an eBay selling coach, and she's an online marketing expert, and her website is well known to many sellers. It's powersellingmom.com. And as I said, we're talking about business mentorship. Welcome, Dana.
Thank you.
So a lot of people have asked me, if you're going to be a mentor on eBay, do you have to have an experience? Just so we can give you some street cred, tell everyone on the audience out there how long you've been selling on eBay.
I've been selling on eBay since 1997, so about 22 years.
It's a whole lifetime, Dana. Right. It's a long time to be selling. Do you remember how you got started?
I got started, I was going through a divorce and wanted to make extra money, and my kids loved Beanie Babies. And so I was trying to collect them and trade them, and I was doing toy shows and flea markets. And then one day somebody told me about eBay. So I signed up and I just jumped in and started selling. My original eBay name was Toys for Less.
A play on the other name.
Yeah, so I used to sell Beanie Babies, fast food toys, mostly Star Wars and those kinds of things.
So how did that early selling on eBay morph into the business person you are today, where you become Power Selling Mom and a well-known business and selling mentor to so many people?
Actually, I wanted to take my business to the next level and build a website. So I tried to come up with names, and Power Selling Mom had a nice ring to it.
It does. And that's how you ended up with the name.
Yes.
But the other part of that business is it's also, although I know you still sell on eBay, you've also, as I said, become an eBay selling coach to literally thousands, if not tens of thousands of sellers on eBay. How did that begin?
Well, I first started mentoring on the eBay groups. And to me, the eBay groups was like another world. It was like a world behind the eBay scenes.
Yeah.
But we called it Groupland, actually.
Groupland.
And Yeah, group land. It was for us groupies that we were eBay groupies that like to hang out there and talk about eBay and talk about helping people, sharing our experiences. And that's when eBay launched stores, and I opened up my first store. Was called Ask Dana.
Ask Dana, of course.
That's how it happened.
So this indicates, I mean, at least to me, that I know that I share this as well to some extent, that you enjoy helping people learn how to do something.
I do.
And this led you into being an online coach and expanding it into what I believe is a business, correct?
Correct.
So was there a point in your mind where you said, I'm going to move from just sort of giving advice and selling and hanging out with folks in groups to actually pursuing this as a business?
It actually just happened. I didn't really plan on it. It just all fell into place. Yeah. And that's funny how life is.
I know. I've been there. Yes, I know how that happens. So today, I wanted to talk a little bit about the whole business of mentorship, but also what inspires people who are mentors to be mentors, because it's something that a lot of folks need, but a lot of folks can't do it. They're not good at teaching. And I'm assuming that you knew or you felt that you had this ability, this skill in order to teach people, make them comfortable and learn how to tackle what for many people is a very intimidating prospect, which is starting their own business. Have you always in your life had that little bit of mentorship inside of you?
I think so. For 9 years, I was a Girl Scout leader. And I think that a lot of my skills came from that, because I loved helping these girls learn that the sky's the limit and, you know, they can set goals and complete and gain their badges. And I was also involved with Boy Scouts and helped my son earn badges. So I guess that's what launched it.
And you enjoy inspiring others?
Yes.
Is there someone who inspires you? I know that, for example, if you're a teacher or an educator, part of the process ongoing throughout your life in that field is that you also take courses and take classes. Do you spend time beyond mentoring others, receiving mentorship and education on your own?
I love education. I can't get enough of it. When I take baths, I put on TED Talks.
Oh, TED Talks, yes.
TED Talks is my favorite channel. And I listen when I'm driving and traveling. I listen to motivational audiobooks. And that's pretty much, I don't have one single favorite. I just search for anybody that speaks or teaches on anything on motivational or success.
Now, do you find that for example, TED Talks, which I have to agree, they're inspirational and revelatory in their own, people sharing their stories in specific fields, whether that is technology or education or design, does that connect directly into whatever it is you're doing during the day when you're helping others learn how to sell?
Absolutely, because it inspires me to come up with new ideas. And I get excited. I get bored if I don't have a lot of things going on at once. So I like to jump around. I like to go over here and work on this project or schedule a consult or keep my day moving.
When you're helping other sellers, and I know this is part of your day-to-day work, is there a common challenge that you find with either new or existing business people or sellers that is something you have to constantly address? In order to, maybe it's allaying fears or, like you said, inspiring people to accomplish things that maybe they think they can't accomplish. But is there a common challenge that you experience when you're mentoring new sellers, for example?
I'd say the most common across the board is confidence.
Confidence?
Yes.
So a lack of it?
Yes.
Do you ever wonder why that is?
I guess it's probably all the way people were brought up or the way that people beat themselves up. They just don't have the ability to take a step back and take a look sometimes. So they need that someone. I mean, sometimes I'll break into tears just getting a message through someone. Thank you so much for that idea. And now I've got a new idea. And it just, they feed off of it.
I know, and that feedback, it's almost like a drug, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. If a seller wanted to mentor others, a lot of people I know, and you and I have met them over time, where they've started out being students either in like an eBay university or maybe one of your courses, and they suddenly decide that, you know, I think I'd like to do this. I'd like to mentor others and how to build a business. What advice would you give someone besides staying out of your territory?
No. My motto, Griff, yeah. There's plenty of eBay for us all blessed and prosper.
That's a great motto. So if I'm that seller who comes to you for advice and wants to know how I could get started as a mentor, what would you tell me?
Well, first, I would suggest to adjust your LinkedIn settings and claim that you're a mentor. So you have to put it out there and claim it and then add it to your social channels. Take it to another step, build a website, and just be confident in yourself. It's like build it and they will come.
Mm. So you have to adopt the role in order to be able to assume the role. So that means
Correct.
The trappings of the role, going to LinkedIn or to Facebook and presenting yourself as a mentor.
Yes.
What would be the second piece of advice you'd give them?
Have your business plan, of course. I learned early on that it's not about making money, especially in the beginning. In the beginning, you're like, okay, we became education specialists. I'm going to make millions from becoming an education specialist, and I'm just going to get out there and charge these huge fees. And soon you learn that that's not what it's all about. There's more to it than charging fees. It's kind of like I learned that saying goes, what is it? Give away the barn or something.
Yeah.
you give away the barn or you give away the land. And it all comes back to you in the end. I learned that I had to just quit that concept of, oh, I'm charging for this and I'm not going to talk to you unless you send me money through PayPal. And you have to set boundaries, of course.
Sure.
But I've learned that I have set up on my website so people can schedule calls with me, and there's free 10-minute phone call with me. And 99% of the time, I can turn it around into a paid consult, or I've answered their question and they can simply move on.
Right. And you don't come off looking like everything about what I'm doing is transactional.
That's right.
It makes sense. So give a little bit of away, and it's good marketing and it makes you feel good, but it's also a great way of acquiring customers.
That's right. The long term.
Kind of applies to selling on eBay too.
Another thing, sellers that want to improve their business, is the best advice is to keep trying new things and don't settle for second best and to cry about no sales. We tend to hear that as mentors. And many times, you know, you just have to get people to snap out of it and find out why and review your listings, including the kind of items you're listing. But research is king in my book. And this is one of the main reasons I fell in love with WorthPoint. And yes, I do work for them now, but only because it's something I find very valuable as an eBay seller, and I need it to manage my personal business.
Tell our audience a little bit about WorthPoint since you brought it up. I think they'd be curious.
Well, WorthPoint is a research tool, and I've always called myself a treasure hunt seller. And as a treasure hunt seller, I'm going out looking for items and I'm thrifting and trying to research those items. And I need data to try to figure out the value of them. Like I just recently sold a bronze Batman statue. I couldn't find anything on it except for on WorthPoint. Their data goes back about 15 years of sold listings on eBay and other marketplaces. So I can now find a Batman statue that sold 2 years ago, and I can take that information and get a better listing on eBay for my Batman. And I was able to sell my Batman statue for $7,200.
Yikes. I'd say a WorthPoint account was worth it. Wow, that's a lot of bat dollars.
A lot of bat toys.
Right. WorthPoint, by the way, has been around for a while, as Dana said, and it's an excellent tool for collectibles and antiques and unusual one-of-a-kind items. That's what the Ron Siegel's focus has been on for a long time. There are other research tools, including the one that eBay just bought, which is more broad range and doesn't go back as far. But if you're into the treasure hunt, as Dana says, WorthPoint's a great thing to look into, and it's an affordable subscription plan, if I remember.
Yes, thank you. And we're really looking forward to eBay Open. And
oh, that's right. You guys will be presenting there.
Yes, we have a wonderful plan for eBay Open this year, so I'm pretty excited to be involved. And then the other thing is, when you become a mentor, is to reach out to the eBay staff, the eBay community, especially at the eBay for Business Board, and reach out to them, because there's so many opportunities out there for different avenues in the eBay community for mentors.
Like, for example?
Well, I'm in one that's called, I'm a seller diversity advocate with Dominique.
Oh, Dominique, of course, yes. She's yes. on the team, yeah.
I love her.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
And she is. And so I love her energy. So many of the, like yourself, Griff, that work for eBay that have such great vibes and energy, that when eBay sellers that are motivated to also teach and inspire, it's beneficial to get to know fellow people in the community.
That's absolutely true. Dan, it's always a pleasure talking to you. I feel we don't talk enough, but this is a
great,
it's a great way to catch up. But I believe we'll be seeing you in a few weeks at eBay Open. And if you're interested in Dana and what she has to offer, and believe me, she has a lot. She's very knowledgeable about eBay and entrepreneurship in general. Check out powersellingmom.com.
Yes, thank you.
powersellingmom.com. And if you are planning to come to eBay Open, do make an effort to search out Dana and introduce yourself. You'll meet one of the nicest people you've ever met.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We've been speaking with Dana Crawford. Dana Crawford, as I said, is a longtime seller on eBay, as we learned today, since 1997. It's 22 years. And she operates a mentor and instructional business online, as well as selling on eBay, under the website powersellingmom.com. So check it out. Stay tuned. We have more right after this. It's time for Inside eBay, and this week we're talking about sources of inspiration and business mentorship, very important topics to eBay sellers. And we're joined right now by Alexis Gallivan. She's the Senior Manager of Global Communications here at eBay. Welcome to the show, Alexis.
Thank you so much, Griff. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I am too. So tell us, how long have you been at eBay and what it is that you do here?
Let's see. So I joined eBay about 2.5 years ago, and it kind of feels like yesterday, but also 10 years ago, depending on the day you ask me. As you mentioned, I work on our global communications team. You have a pretty cool job, but I'm pretty sure mine is the best in the entire company. And that is that I get to lead Retail Revival, which hopefully we'll talk about a little bit later in the show.
Sure.
But before eBay, I've been running my own business, actually, and working on various entrepreneurship-related projects around the world. So I was super excited at the opportunity to come to eBay and to kind of bring my unique expertise and enthusiasm for small business to its global community of sellers.
Oh, I don't have to prompt you. You know our audience is primarily made up of small business. So let's go right there, why don't we?
Let's
start with your small business background. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Way back when, 2007, my business partner Jenny and I launched New York City's first and still only certified organic ice cream business. It's called Blue Marble Ice Cream. Blue Marble is like the nickname for planet Earth. Started off with a single scoop shop in Brooklyn, and since then have just grown and grown and grown. We have more retail locations and really kind of pushed deep into kind of the wholesale market. So we sell to restaurants, hotels, sporting venues, airlines, corporate cafeterias, you name it. We're probably there. And we're also a proud B Corp, which some of your listeners may be familiar with. And that essentially just really formally signifies our commitment to running a really socially and environmentally responsible business.
Oh, that's what that means. I didn't know. B Corp.
Yeah, Benefit Corp.
Ah,
yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So this led from the ice cream to something else called Blue Marble Dreams. Can you tell us about that?
As an organic business, a women-owned business, a very kind of community-oriented business, it was very early on we got a clear sense of just how important our role was as a small business and really kind of enriching kind of the vibrancy and the opportunities of our community. You know, we were creating jobs, we were enlivening retail districts, we were giving back to schools and local nonprofit organizations, we were offering this very wholesome product and experience for families. You know, it wasn't just us, of course. There were many other businesses in these neighborhoods that were doing just the same. And it really struck us as just how important role we play in communities. We thought, well, geez, if we can have this kind of impact here at home, like what else could we do? How far can we stretch this model, this kind of this impact? And right around that same time, it was so serendipitous, my business partner happened to meet this extraordinary woman from Rwanda. That's a whole other story for a whole other podcast.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to make a note of it right now. Go ahead.
All right. So she met this incredible woman named Kiki, who's kind of this artist, poet, visionary type. And when she learned that Jenny, my business partner, owned this ice cream business, she said to her, "Would you consider coming to my community in rural Rwanda and helping women there open up their own ice cream business?" And funny enough, like, I had worked in international development before venturing into the small business realm, and I thought I had a pretty solid grasp on what kind of developing economies or developing kind of areas of the world needed, and an ice cream shop was not on that list. But when Kiki explained why she felt this would be so impactful, it made a lot of sense. She wanted to create jobs. She wanted to support local agriculture, local farmers. But perhaps most importantly, she wanted to provide her community just the experience of joy. This is a little after 10 years after the Rwandan genocide, and she explained to us that people were still walking around, understandably, with very heavy hearts. It's a very kind of somber place, and she was worried because she saw children looking to their parents to understand, how do I navigate life? How do I feel about life? Is this something that we're excited about? Is this drudgery? Is this possibility? What is this, mom and dad? And so she saw ice cream as a way for families to kind of have this totally magical experience, and to have children witnessing their parents experiencing joy so that they understood, oh, I deserve this. This is part of life. This is something that I want to have and to work towards. And I'm not nearly as eloquent as she is, but once we heard that, we're like, holy smokes. I don't know how we're going to start an ice cream business in Rwanda, but we're going to figure out and we're going to do it. So we did. It took us about 2 years, and we partnered with this incredible women's cooperative in rural Rwanda. And we opened up a shop there called Inzozi Nziza, which translates roughly to sweet dreams. And I am so proud to say that the shop is actually still running today, still owned by the same group of women. And funny enough, Steve Weimer, our chief communications officer, my ultimate boss, has actually been there. He traveled in his past life and did some work in Rwanda. He's actually had my ice cream in Rwanda. So that's pretty cool.
At the time, did he know it was your ice cream?
No. This was years ago, and we hadn't met yet. But he remembers being struck by the kind of the concept and how great the customer service was, which is something that was really important that we kind of really drilled home to our partners there. So that was really gratifying, and customers love it. It's a great product, great group of women, and great potential.
Did you know at the time that, I mean, you were helping them set up a business, but had you envisioned that you were going to be a business mentor yourself?
No, it kind of seems so absurd, because when my partner Jenny and I got started in Blue Marble, we didn't have a clue what we were doing, Griff. No idea. We were like, oh, what should a scoop of ice cream cost? I don't know, $3? Okay, that sounds good. Let's charge $3. No idea what cost of goods sold were. No idea, how to read a P&L or a balance sheet or how to run projections. Like, we had not a clue. But entrepreneurship is a very humbling experience. It's like never-ending boot camp. You learn again, again and again. You fall, you get up. You fall again, you get up. You learn a lot of lessons the hard way, which is kind of plays into our mentorship conversation here. But you learn a lot. And it's amazing what you can do when you kind of put your mind to it. And as we were working with these women in Rwanda, we realized just how much we had learned, just how far we had come in our own entrepreneurial journey. Yeah. So it was so fun to be able to take the expertise that we had both kind of developed the hard way, usually, but also through our own mentors, and then kind of, pass it along. And I think that's really how mentorship works. You benefit from it, but then you have to kind of pass it forward.
And has this become part of your business, or was this a one-time thing where you were a mentor?
We did this again. We replicated the model in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, of all places. I think, aside from any kind of war-torn nations, Haiti might be the most difficult place to do such a thing. But we did it, and we actually built it out of shipping containers that are solar-powered. So that was quite an undertaking. And again, that's another story for yet another podcast.
Oh. Why should an eBay seller think of themselves as a business? And a lot of our sellers, they actually don't think of themselves as a business. They think, well, I'm just a mom and pop. But it's important, isn't it? And in your view, why is it important?
As you're just sharing this question with me, the first thing that came to mind was actually something that Kiki said to us. She said, we grow up in life, and so often we're told no, whether it's by our parents or our teachers or ourselves even. We keep saying no, no, no. Either you can't have it, or you're not capable of that, or that you're asking too much. We say no, we say no. And I have found in my life that really we all kind of rise or shrink to whatever expectations or whatever permission we set for ourselves. You know, on a existential level, maybe it's arguable that enough truly is enough sometimes. But in life, I think we should nearly always strive for more when it comes to our goals, our potential, our growth. You know, why not push to see what we're capable of, right?
Say yes instead of no.
Yeah, say yes. Exactly. Say yes to yourself instead of no. It's scary. It's easier sometimes to say no than to say yes. But when you say yes, you just unlock this entirely new realm of opportunity for yourself. I mean, what if we had said no to Kiki? My life would never have been the same. I wouldn't have known it, of course, but I would have missed out on this absolutely beautiful experience. As for sellers, if they really, really kind of commit to learning about all of the incredibly powerful tools that eBay has to offer its sellers, you're going to make more money. Your business is going to grow. And hopefully you like money, but if you don't, think about what that money can do for others. Give it away. Give it to a school. Give it to a nonprofit. But even the intellectual pursuit of really kind of refining your business and really taking it more seriously, I think is really rewarding. There's so much to learn, and it's fun to kind of set challenges for yourself and then see how buyers respond and then adjust your strategy. I mean, there's so much kind of mental kind of nutrients in there, just in terms of the intellectual pursuit of it all. So I say, why not? If you try it and you end up thinking, oh, this is too much work, or it's the juice isn't worth the squeeze, then fine. You know, there's always an opportunity to kind of to take a step back again, but why not push yourself and see what's possible? You'll never know what's waiting for you out there if you don't.
One of the more remarkable, in my view, eBay entries into the business mentorship field was the recent introduction of something called Retail Revival. And I know you've been intimately involved in that. Can you outline a little bit about Retail Revival and what it means as far as a business mentorship program?
Started off around 2015, a local city government in Germany actually was noticing that its small businesses were really struggling to grow, relatively small communities. So of course, their access to customers was relatively limited. So someone there had the bright idea of coming to the local eBay office and said, hey, could you help us with this? Could you help our small businesses understand all the opportunities that exist out there on the internet? And could you come and actually like train them? Could you mentor them? Could you show them all the opportunity that exists on eBay and in your incredible global marketplace? And thankfully, that team said, yeah, that sounds absolutely, that's something we can definitely do. And they did. And the results were pretty quick and pretty significant. I think within 18 months or so, these small businesses were averaging about 90,000 euros on the platform per year. So that's a significant bump up for small businesses. And that was really exciting. Shortly after that, there was an earthquake in Italy. Once again, eBay kind of responded to the call of duty and said, hey, you know, we can help accelerate the recovery process here. We can help these small businesses get back on their feet, get online, reach more customers, and hopefully kind of get their city as a whole back on its feet. And so kind of over time, the model started kind of morphing into this more kind of somewhat more formal structure. But at the same time, we recognized, wow, it has the ability to be really versatile and respond in unique ways to unique opportunities or challenges in different markets or different communities around the world. Fast forward a bit to early last year, and Retail Revival kind of landed on my lap, thankfully. And we said, hey, what can we do with this program? How can we utilize our expertise, our platform, our incredible marketplace to extend a hand to small business communities in cities around the world that are struggling to kind of find a place for themselves in today's economy? And how can we embrace them? How can we empower them? How can we enable them to really kind of compete on the global marketplace, on a global scale, and in the digital economy? So now it's a 12-month program. We launched it early last year in Akron, Ohio, and have since expanded it to other cities around the world. Sellers get one-on-one dedicated coaching from our friends in Global Customer Experience, or GCX. They get a number of other kind of benefits. They get a store subscription. They get promotional assistance through our commerce site, ebay.com/retailrevival. We try to promote their businesses through our kind of PR channels and through social media marketing and through a variety of other means. We've done pop-up shops in not only our host cities, but in other cities like New York City. And we did one here in Austin at South by Southwest, just to kind of drive awareness, not only of these businesses specifically, but to eBay's support of small business overall. It's been kind of a large scale, very cross-functional effort to kind of bring the unique expertise of our kind of eBay team members from around the world and really kind of deploy it in support of these small businesses in these communities.
I'm a business owner in a small town right now, and I'm listening to this podcast, and I sure hope they are. First thing on my mind is, whoa, wait a minute. I want to be in on Retail Revival. If I have an interest in this program, what's the next step for me? Where do I go to find out if I can take part?
First of all, I would say I'm super psyched. I'm so glad you're interested. And the timing is perfect. You know, we were just kind of formalizing the program last year. And honestly, we didn't know how it would go. We didn't know if it would produce the kind of impact that we were hoping it would. But it has. We are, I think, at about the $10 million mark in terms of GMV. We have about 400 sellers in the program. They've reached about 145 countries around the world in terms of where their buyers are. In terms of expanding the reach and accelerating revenue, the program has been enormously successful for these small businesses. So we want more. We want to extend the retail revival tent, so to speak, to enable virtually anyone everywhere to come and join us. So because of these great results, our leadership has said, hey, this program is working. Let's do more of it. So now we are in the fast and furious process of figuring out how to scale quickly, how to really kind of transform this program into more of an open source kind of movement, enabling anyone, anywhere to kind of come and join us, working on a variety of kind of digital learning resources and figuring out just how we can engage cities around the world in the program and extend the benefits of this to more and more small businesses. So I'd say sit tight, stay tuned, lots more to come between now and the end of the year in terms of kind of our progress in that process and making it open up to lots of communities around the world.
So if I'm interested in, like you just said, the progress of the program and seeing if it'll be available to me, is there a place I can go to follow the progress?
Absolutely. So you can always go to ebayinc.com/impact. There we have the latest news stories. We have some videos of featured retail revival sellers. We have all sorts of information about the kinds of impact that we're having in the different partner cities around the world. So that's a great place to go. And of course, always follow our social feeds and stay tuned to our kind of community pages for updates there. And of course, part of being a good seller is being a good buyer too, right? Like we all need to be part of this virtuous cycle. So you can shop on our retail revival sellers, at least here in the US, at ebay.com/retail revival.
This is so cool. Alexis, I want to thank you for coming on the show. This was great information and very inspiring. And it'll be interesting and it'll be, well, more than interesting. It'll be really heartening to follow the developments as you scale retail revival for more businesses and sellers across the world.
We're so excited for what's to come.
Thanks for joining us. We've been joined today by Alexis Galavan. She's the Senior Manager of Global Communications here at eBay, and we've been talking about the importance of business mentorship, specifically mentorship from the eBay side with Retail Revival. Coming up next, your questions and hopefully our accurate answers.
You know, Doug, I should write a jingle for this segment.
I think you should.
You got questions. You got questions. You got questions. So what?
I kept up. You jumped in on the end.
You were very good. Anyway, no, seriously, it's time for your questions. And we have two this week that we selected. And without any weight at all, Ed?
Yes.
Would you read the first question, please?
Yes, Garnack.
Yeah.
I have the envelope in my hand. Okay. Question number one. Let me open it.
Great sound effect. Thanks.
Thank you. Much better than last week.
I think so.
All right. This is from the community feedback forum, Griffnack. Les33 asks, where can I find rules regarding sales tax?
Yes.
Let me think. So there's two different ways I would answer this form, Les33. The first one is, if you want to know what's going on the eBay end for sales tax, what eBay is doing to facilitate and be in compliance with the different state rules that are now cascading down over the calendar for sales tax, you can go to ebay.com/sales tax. Mm-hmm. That's ebay.com/sales tax. That's one side of the question. Now, I'm going to make the assumption that when you say rules regarding sales tax, you might also be implying the state rules where you live for sales tax. So I can't give you that, but because there's like 50 states and we only have like an hour. So what you can do is you can visit your state's sales tax website and read what your responsibilities are as a seller in your state. Now, it might get a little complex. One of the things that's going to make it really easy as eBay adds more states as they come online with their requirements. They're all passing laws now that say no matter where you are, if you sell to someone in our state, you're going to pay sales tax.
Yeah.
Is eBay's created a mechanism where we can collect and remit the sales tax on your behalf. So you won't have to do that part of it. But what we're not sure of, and there's so many rules, is what your reporting status still is. Right. So you may live in a state where if it comes up that eBay is now collecting sales tax for sales made in that state and remitting it, you don't have to collect sales tax at all. But you may still have a reporting responsibility to your state tax board. And the only way I can tell you either way is you got to find out for yourself. So do the research online for your state. If you just type in the words your state, like say Oklahoma sales tax, and then do they have a sales tax? I don't know.
I'll have to go look at ebay.com/sales tax.
I think they do, actually. Just type the name of your state and the word sales tax, and you should be able to find the webpage where it'll show what your reporting, the rules are for reporting at least. At the very least. So, for example, I live in California. When I sell in California, I have to collect sales tax for that. And then I have to quarterly fill out a report and reimburse the state. Once California is on board with this their new law for marketplaces, including eBay, I won't have to collect or remit the sales tax. But I think I still have reporting. I still have to report every quarter.
Okay.
So the only way to know for sure about what the specific rules are for you based on where you live is to visit your state's sales tax website.
All right.
Yes. Yes. You are the king, Grifnak.
Yeah. I don't know how far this is going, but I think I'm certainly glad we have one more question.
One more question, Grifnak.
Yes. Yeah. I believe that this is a question about feedback.
Let's see.
Okay.
Snarf Angel asks, I wanted to find out if it was acceptable to leave neutral or negative feedback if a seller does not have an item in stock. I normally wouldn't even consider a negative one, but feel it wasted my time looking for a good deal and negotiating a price only to have the order canceled after funds were withdrawn from PayPal because it was out of stock. Griff.
Yeah. Well, it's a buyer. Snarf Angel is talking from the buyer perspective, and I'm going to make a lot of sellers angry right now because it's the way things go. As a buyer, you on eBay can leave feedback for any reason for your dissatisfaction, and it is a really terrible experience to find something, buy it, pay for it, and then to be told, oh, I don't have this item anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think most buyers probably wouldn't leave a negative or neutral. But it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I have to be honest. I have to say it is your decision, and I'm not going to advise you anyway. If it was something, look, I'm advising him. If it was, I know if it were me, let me say if it were me, and it was something that I was really needing, and I actually put aside other options because I needed it quick, and then I found out a day later that I missed out because the seller didn't have it, I think I might be really upset enough to consider leaving a feedback. But if you're asking whether it's within the rules, yeah, it's within eBay rules. You're not going to be breaking a policy for leaving a negative or neutral for an item where you were dissatisfied because the seller had to refund you because they were out of stock. And that's it.
All right. There we go. Excellent.
That's all for this week's questions there, Ed.
Yes. You are the king, Grifnak.
That's not true. We'll have more of your questions next week. Remember, you can submit questions by phone at 888-723-4630 or email at podcast@ebay.com, or you can use the feedback submission form on the eBay for Business podcast community page at www.ebay.com/podcast. Just look for the link in the lovely mustard yellow box. Coming up, it's time to close the show. Time flies.
It sure does. Hey.
Yes.
Since time flies, does that mean quality time flies first class? Should I mention that I think this was an excellent show?
You could, of course, but that would be self-aggrandizement since we're the show hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anything a mentor will tell you, it's that a little humility goes a long way.
You're just a font of wisdom today, aren't you?
Well, I try, Doug. What's up for our next show?
Next week, it's all about employee and performance management.
Yikes, that sounds like a wide-ranging topic indeed.
It is, Griff, and often being the best version of you means knowing when to delegate some of your workload to others.
Ah, thus the importance of having help, like employees.
Or at least contractors.
And of course, you know there is a difference.
And we'll learn more about both the importance and the difference between both when we talk with eBay seller Jordan Inslee and eBay's own Alexis Gallivan.
You know, I nearly forgot. Liz Austin will join us with the news about this year's Shine Award winners.
Yes, it's almost time for eBay Open, and the Shine Award winners for 2019 will be in attendance. I can't wait.
In the meantime, if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, you can be a part of the show when you call us at 888-723-4630, and you can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. Leave a question or a comment, and we just might put it on the air.
You can also feed your question to us through our email address, podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com.
You know, speaking of mentors, where can a seller go to find lots of willing and fun mentors, Doug?
Gee, Griff, I don't know. Perhaps meetups?
Yes, meetups, Doug. At seller meetups, sellers share tips, stories, insights, and even mentorship. But whatever your cup of meat, you will definitely find some mentors in the rough there. You can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And of course, don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/ebay for business.
And that's our show for this week.
Should I roll the credits, Master?
Of course, Igor. Roll away.
The eBay podcast team. Head of community, Brian Burr.
Co-host in absentia,
which is a small hamlet in Ireland,
Alan Aisbit.
Marketing strategist, Liz Austin.
And executive production assistant, correspondent, and proxy senior manager, because he manages senior, like me, Doug Smith.
And finally, editor-in-chief and top host, Griff.
eBay for Business is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411. Did you get my little reference in there? With cup of meat?
Cup of meat.
You know we have someone you said who listens to the show and they catch all these little references.
I hope she picks it up.
It's from a song.
Is it a Who song?
No.
I got a cup of meat for you, Griff.
That's not it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to actually force you to go and research it.
Well, there will be obscure references in the buzz for that one particular listener.
Okay. Well, it was in the buzz. We've just done it. Remember?
Yeah. Right.
It can't be. It's not us.
Well, always in the buzz.